Hare Krishna. I welcome everyone to Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call. We are very, very fortunate to have His Grace Ramachandra Prabhu with us today. He's the speaker today for Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita class. And we will be discussing from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela, chapter 4, verse 101 onwards. So thank you so much, Prabhuji. We are very fortunate to have your very precious association today. You can now take over the call. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji.
Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
So we will be reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela, chapter 24, verse number 101.
Prashabde moksha vancha kaitava pradhana ei shloke Sridhar Swami kuriyachen vyakhyam. Prashabde moksha vancha kaitava pradhana ei shloke Sridhar Swami Uriyachen Vyakhyam Prashabde Moksha Vancha Kaitava Pradhana Eishloke Sridhar Swami Uriyachen Vyakhyam.
Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The prefix pra in the word projitaha is specifically refers to those desiring liberation or oneness with the Supreme. Such a desire should be understood to be the foremost cheating propensity. The great commentator Sridhar Swami has explained this verse in that way.
Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakhaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Juta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsa Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsya E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namaste Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Shute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vaincha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo 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 Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्तादेशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। प्रशब्दे मोक्ष वांछा कैतव प्रधान ऐ श्लोके श्रीधर स्वामी कुरिया छेन व्याख्यान। द प्रीफिक्स प्र इन द वर्ड प्रोजितः specifically refers to those desiring liberation or oneness with the Supreme. Such a desire should be understood to be the foremost cheating propensity. The great commentator Sridhar Swami has explained this verse in that way. Hare Krishna, I would like to thank all of you all for giving me this opportunity to serve you all. So this verse that we have read is a continuation, you can say, or it's a fallout of the last verse. In the previous verse, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explaining to Sanatan Goswami has referred to the verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, Dharma Prohojita Kaitava. And I'm sure I also heard the wonderful explanation given in our last class on this verse. But in the following verse, that's the verse that we are discussing today, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is putting more emphasis just on this word, the prefix rather, not even the full word, pra. And he says that it refers to those desiring liberation or oneness with the Supreme. Such a desire should be understood to be the foremost cheating propensity. So try to understand. Even those who are aspiring for liberation, who attain liberation, they who have transcended the three modes. It's only when you transcend the three modes, the word transcendentalist means that one who has transcended, who has surpassed even the mode of goodness, is the one who qualifies for this liberation. And that person who's on that platform, he's being addressed here as a cheater. And very specifically it's being said, it's the foremost cheating propensity. And this is being explained or established by Sridhar Swami. So why is this being, because why do you understand? Here is a person who has transcended all the three modes, means he is beyond the control of these three modes. So he's on a Shuddha Sattva platform, even beyond the platform of Sattva. But on that platform, what is his aspiration? He wants to become one with the Supreme. He wants to become the Supreme. I remember one time in the Journey Home book, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj writes about an incident of when he met one yogi. You know, he was traveling and he was meeting so many different types of sadhus and yogis. And so this sadhu, he was a Ram Bhakt. And Maharaj said, whenever he would talk Ram Katha, you know, literally tears would flow. And he was so deep in the Ramayana. So one day, Maharaj said that when he was sitting with this sadhu and having prasadam, and also Maharaj just asked him, you know, like, I'm so impressed, you know, you have so deep love for Lord Ram. So what is your aspiration? Where is this whole thing coming from? You know, your whole, you know, you go into ecstasy just by the mention of word, by mention of the name Ram. So that sadhu looked at Maharaj and he told him, you know where all this ecstasy of mine comes from? Maharaj, where? And sadhu told them, just by the thought, just by the thought that in the very near future, I will merge with Lord Ram and I will become Lord Ram. And Maharaj said, I left that place never to return back again. And this, Sridhar Swami, and in this verse it's being explained, it's a cheating propensity. Why is it a cheating propensity? Because we saw it in the previous verse, because as I said, this is a fallout of the previous verse. It is depriving. It is depriving this jiva from the highest achievement, or you can say the highest aspiration that one can have. What is that? Pure, unalloyed, loving relationship with the Supreme Lord Shamsundar. Anything that deprives the jiva from this platform, anything below that, it's cheating. And these levels of cheating can vary. You know, this is regarded as the foremost, and then under this there will be different levels of cheating. But it's the fact that it's depriving us, or depriving this jiva of that most perfectional stage of developing a loving relationship with the Lord in any of the five rasas, four rasas, it's cheating. And that is why this verse comes right in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam. Because Vyasadev wants to establish what Bhagavatam is going to deliver. And if you are expecting anything other than that, then you are in the wrong place. So, of course, as I said, this verse has been very beautifully explained in our last class. I also heard the class by Hari Parshad Prabhu. He explained it so wonderfully. So, I had thought that he would cover up this verse also, but since it didn't cover up, so I just took it. We will be discussing the next verse. The main discussion of our today's evening will be, today's morning for y'all, will be the next verse. So, we'll just go to the next verse, which is verse number 102.
सकाम भक्ते अज्ञानी दयालु भगवान स्वचरण दिया करे इच्छर पिधान सकाम भक्ते अज्ञानी दयालु भगवान स्वचरण दिया करे इच्छर पिधान सकाम भक्ते अज्ञानी दयालु भगवान स्वचरण दिया करे
Translation. When merciful Lord Krishna understands that a foolish devotee desires material prosperity, he gratefully gives him the shelter of his lotus feet. In this way, the Lord covers the devotee's undesirable ambitions. So see, in the last verse, we were talking of this transcendentalist who's beyond the three modes. And now in the next verse, we are talking of which person? A sakama bhakta. He's pretty low on the ladder. A bhakta who worships, approaches the Lord, but he has kamana. He has desires, material desires. So how does the Lord deal with this person? What is the Lord's stance for this person? It's important to understand. And in this verse, we'll explain two aspects of this verse. We'll see how merciful. That is why the word used here is also Dayalu Bhagwan. How merciful is Krishna? That this bhakta who's coming to him is a sakam bhakta. He's only coming to him for business. Can I want this? Maybe when he gets that, he never comes back. You know, most of the time when people go, even if they go to Krishna or they go to the demigod, it's very mercenary. They don't go because they love Lord Shiva or they love Lord Ganesh or they love Krishna. No, it's pretty motivated. They just go, they do something like a deal, they come back. Like, I can tell you all of one, you know, incident which comes to my mind. One time there was a devotee of Lord Shiva. So he goes to Lord Shiva and he tells him that, hey, these are the dealings, you know, I'm trying to explain when we come back to this world. But this is the general, you can say, approach of people towards, be it demigods, be it God, be it anybody.
So he goes to Lord Shiva and he tells Lord Shiva that, "Oh Shambhu, I have a house which I want to sell. And if this house sells, I promise you, whatever proceeds come out of this house, I'll give you half of it. Half is yours. But I want that it should sell fast." And he comes back home. He has very good faith in Lord Shiva and the things will work out. So he comes back home, his house has been put on sale. And suddenly he realizes that, you know, he's getting very good offers for that house. $500,000. So then he starts thinking that I'm going to get $500,000 or $400,000 and I have promised Lord Shiva that I'm going to give him half, which means that I'll have to give $200,000, which is too much. You know, when I made the promise, I didn't think that. He didn't think of the numbers, the figures. So what to do? Now, here's the, you know, we are very intelligent. So he thinks of a strategy, he thinks of a way. What he does is, he puts a condition in selling his house. Whoever buys this house has to buy my cat also, because this cat is too attached to this house. And the house, he said, costs only $5,000. But the cat costs whatever is the balance amount, $499,900, whatever is it. That's the cost of the cat. And the house sells, you know, whoever, they don't care, they want the house itself. So he comes to Lord Shiva and tells him, "Look, the house sold only for $5,000, so here's your $2,500. How intelligent, isn't it? So this is the point I'm trying to make, is the Sakam Bhakta, when they approach either the demigods or any object of worship, and in this case we are talking about Bhagwan, it's very, you know, you can talk business. You do something for me, I do something for you. People go to Vaishnav Devi and they take a vow and come, if I get a child, then I'll offer a gold necklace. This is all business. But you see, in case of Krishna, this is the reason, we'll see, this is the reason why in Srimad Bhagavatam Krishna has said, akama sarva kama moksha kama va udharadhi. Whoever it may be, whether you have all the kamanas, all the desires of the world, or you don't have any kamanas, no desires. A kama means no kamas, sarva kama, have many desires. Moksha kama, you want moksha also. What do you do? Tivrena bhakti yogena jajate purusha param. You go to this purusha param, don't go anywhere else. Why? Somebody can ask, why should I go to Krishna? But anyway, I want a house, I'll get it from Shiva, I'll get it from, why should I go to Krishna? There's a difference. This is the words where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is explaining to us. That when the Sakama Bhakta goes to Dayalu Bhagavan, to Krishna, what does Krishna do? He understands that this devotee is foolish. Why is he foolish? Because he is desiring material prosperity. It's foolish. Krishna knows best that whatever I, like, you know, we see in the example of Dhruva Maharaj, the best example that comes to our mind. When Dhruva Maharaj went into the forest, he was Sakam. He was not Akam. He didn't go and start his austerity, which we have already read and understood in the Srimad Bhagavatam. He didn't go into the forest Akam, that, oh, I'm just going to please the Lord. No. He had a kamna, he had a desire, right? He wanted that whole kingdom. But the good thing was that he meets Narad Muni, and Narad Muni, being his guru, directs him. To whom? To Lord Vishnu. And when he sees the beautiful form of the Lord, we know what follows. That same desire which he had, the Lord is ready to fulfill, and the Lord does fulfill. But he's lost the taste, you can say. He doesn't want it. He's telling the Lord, I don't need it. It's just like a broken glass. So similarly here, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is explaining, when merciful Lord Krishna understands that this devotee is foolish because he is desiring material prosperity, what does he do? He gratefully gives him the shelter of his lotus feet. Let us stop here. Imagine, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna, seeing this person who is a Sakami, who has come to him for, not for, pure bhakti or something. He's come to him for some desire. I want this, I want this, and I want this. And what does Krishna do? Krishna, it is being explained here, he gives him shelter of his lotus feet. Why does Krishna give him shelter of his lotus feet? We'll understand it down the line in our class today only, of what happens. We see examples, right? Four Kumaras, when they were approaching Vaikuntha, even before they could have darshan of the Lord, even before they could have a visual contact of the lotus feet of the Lord, what did they come in contact with? They came in contact with something which was in contact with the feet of the Lord, lotus feet of the Lord. What are that? Tulsi. Just the aroma. Please try to understand. It's not even the lotus feet of the Lord that they have come into contact. It's just the aroma which was coming, which they came in contact with. What happened? They were Brahman realized, and how that whole, just by that aroma, and then following, of course, we know they saw the beautiful form of the Lord. Lotus feet of the Lord. We see in Ramayana, Lord Ramchandra's lotus feet just touches this stone. And this stone is transformed into whom? To Ahilya. You know the pastime, right? She was cursed to become a stone. She was the wife of Gautam Rishi. She was cursed to become a stone. And just the touch of Lord Ramchandra's foot on that stone, she was freed from that curse and she regained her original form. Lotus feet of the Lord. There is one beautiful bhajan by Bhakti Vinod Thakur, where Bhakti Vinod Thakur explains this same thing that we are talking about. What this lotus feet of the Lord can do. We sing it many times, but we are not meditative enough of these bhajans. Because these bhajans, which have been compiled by our Vaishnavas, they were not very poetic, that they rhymed the words very nicely. No, it's actually their heartfelt experiences, their realizations, which have flowed out in the form of these bhajans. So what does Bhakti Vinod Thakur say? He says, ekon bujhino prabhu tomar charana ashoka bhoyamrita purna sarvakshana. Bhakti Vinod Thakur is saying, now I have understood what that your divine feet are a refuge free from all sorrow and fear, and it is eternally full of sweet nectar. And the same thing we'll get to see in the next verse, in the same verse that we are discussing in the second part. So Bhakti Vinod Thakur is saying that these feet of the Lord, now I have understood, they are the refuge. If anybody takes shelter of them, one will be free from all sorrow and fear and will be eternally filled, eternally satisfied with sweet nectar flowing from that lotus feet. And then in the following verses, he gives so many beautiful examples. Je pad lagiya rama tapasya karila. Rama is who? Lakshmi Devi. He did tremendous tapasya. For what? To get the service of serving the lotus feet of the Lord. Massaging the lotus feet. She did tapasya for these lotus feet. Je pad paya shiva shivatva lobhila. Lord Shiva got shivatva only when he got the shelter of the lotus feet of
Lord.
Je padalabhiya brahma krithartha hoila.
Lord, Brahma's life became successful only when he obtained the lotus feet of the Lord.
Je pada narada muni hridaya dhariya.
And these lotus feet, all the devotees, as shown by the greatest devotee who, Narad Muni, hold in their heart. And why? Even Thakur explains it in the last verse. What happens? What is the benefit? What will one achieve by taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord?
Samsara vipada hoite avashya udhara.
Samsara vipada hoite. You know, this whole samsara, this whole world is, you know, vipada, there's danger, there's perils at every step. How will you get udhar? How will you get free? How can you cross over this worldly ocean?
Samsara vipada hoite avashya udhara bhagati vinoda o pada koribe tuma.
Your lotus feet will deliver. Krishna's lotus feet, we compare it right to that. It's like a boat. You take shelter, that boat will take you across this samsara, this whole ocean-like samsara. This is what Krishna is awarding to whom? Please try to understand. Here we are reading names like Lakshmi Devi. We are reading names of Lord Shiva, Brahmaji, Narad Muni. And here in this verse, what we are reading, what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, that Krishna, he gratefully gives him the shelter of this lotus feet. Just imagine. Why he does it? Because he is dayalu. He is so merciful. This is the extent of daya. This is the extent of the mercy of Lord Shri Krishna. The same thing Brahmaji explained, right, when Krishna killed Putana and sent her back into the spiritual world, into his abode as his mother. Kamva dayalu. Brahmaji was so surprised. He said, who can be more merciful than my Lord Krishna, who has awarded not only liberation, he's awarded her a position of his mother in his own abode. Why? Only because she came, actually she was the only demon, I think, or demoness who came and offered something to Krishna. All other demons who came, they just wanted to come and kill him. But what was she offering? But Krishna didn't see that. Krishna said, she came as a mother to offer me something. Here it is. Kamva dayalu. Who can be more merciful than my Lord? It's only because of his mercy that what the Lord does is that he gives even the Sakam Bhakta shelter of his lotus feet. And that's why he says, Akama Sarvakama Mokshakama Udharadi Tivrena Bhakti Yogena Jajate Purushaparam. Go to the Purushaparam. Because you'll keep going asking, he'll keep giving you shelter of his lotus feet, and we'll see now what happens when you take shelter of his lotus feet. When he gives you shelter, what happens following that? You'll get freed from all your karmas. In case of Dhruva Maharaj, it happened immediately, because naturally he saw the Lord face to face. But in others, it might take a bit of time, but it happens. So that's Krishna, what he's offering to even a Sakamba. And what's the second part? In this way, the Lord covers the devotee's undesirable ambitions. So why is he giving this Sakam Bhakta shelter of his lotus feet? See, we can split this verse into two parts. First part is Krishna's dayalu. He gives this Sakam Bhakta also shelter of his lotus feet. Why he gives, that's the second part. To cover the devotee's
undesirable ambitions. Why does Krishna want to cover this devotee's undesirable ambitions? Because he knows that these ambitions, these desires that he has, are distractions. It is these desires, it is these kamanas which are keeping him away from me. What is the meaning of distraction? If you'll just check in the dictionary also, a very dictionary meaning is that distraction is anything that prevents someone from concentrating on what he is trying to achieve at the present moment, in the current situation. So anything that comes and obstructs or is an hindrance or diverts his attention or is an interference in his achieving what he is trying to achieve currently is a distraction. It's a distraction. And we know in human form of life, what is the goal of human form of life? Only one. Athato Brahma Jigyasa, inquiring, trying to, it's only in the human form of life that one can attain perfection, re-establish his relationship with the Lord. And that is why anything other than this, or anything that comes on this path, which is a hindrance on this path, it's a distraction. It's a distraction. So in the next few minutes, I don't know how much time we have, let us talk on this aspect of distraction. Because as we are seeing, even the Lord is concerned, right? If he would not have been concerned, then why would he give shelter to this Sakam Bhakta at his lotus feet? And why would he want to remove all these undesirable ambitions from his life? Because of this. So let us talk briefly. It's a long talk that I usually give in many seminars on distraction and all. So I thought I'll just take a bit of part of it and try to explain what is distraction, how even in the process of devotional service, distractions can come up, do come up, and how they should be handled and overcome. Interesting, because I don't know about all those who are on the call, at least I know for myself, these distractions keep coming all the time. It could be on a daily basis, sometimes it could be on an hourly basis, so that those distractions are always there. So more than for, I don't know how much it would be helpful for y'all, I keep repeating this whole talk again and again, hoping that someday I'll keep talking and someday it will make sense to me, and I will, if not be totally freed from distraction, at least those distractions will minimize. So distractions can be of two types. Two types you can say, or they come in two different ways. One is called an unsolicited distraction. Or you can say it just comes out of the blue. It's an unavoidable distraction. And one is an intentional distraction. Now you all might say intentional distraction. So we'll talk about it and we'll try to understand what it means. What is an unsolicited distraction? A distraction which you don't want, but it comes. You cannot avoid it. Very simple example. Suppose you're sitting for chanting. You know, in the mornings we sit in the temple, we sit among devotees and we are chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And suddenly somebody comes and taps you from the back. And, you know, whoever taps you, it's for a very genuine reason. But what happens? You were, you know, trying to focus, you were trying to connect, trying to absorb yourself, and suddenly somebody distracts you. Now this is unavoidable. You didn't do anything about it. It just happened. So this is an unsolicited, it's an unexpected, it's unavoidable distraction. Okay? What is an intentional distraction? Intentional distraction is that while I'm chanting, I'll give you an example before we can understand this. One devotee went up to one very senior devotee. And he told him, Prabhu, you know what? All the Bhagavatam, all the classes that I give, he used to give good classes. So he was sharing with this senior of him. He said, you know, all these classes that I give, you know, when
actually I prepare these classes, or when do I get, you know, the whole nectar of these classes? So the senior asked him, when? He said, you know, when I sit to chant, all these wonderful thoughts keep coming. Oh, I should tell this anecdote in my class. I should tell this person in my class. And I just keep mentally registering them. And as soon as my class is over, I go and I start making notes of all that. So he thought this devotee will be very happy. But this devotee was not happy. He said, no. When you sit to chant, at that time your seva to Krishna is one. Even chanting is for the pleasure of Krishna ultimately. You cannot at the time, you know, we have this term now is multitasking. You can't do multitasking in devotional life. Like I'll chant also, and at the same time I'll start taking out the deity's dresses also, which we have to put them for Shringar. And then with the other hand, I'll start, you know, bringing all the garlands and keep them in place so that, no. It doesn't happen. It's very simple. Like, you know, I think there are a lot of Matajis on the call. Suppose you're cooking. You're cooking for Rajabhog. Now, while cooking, it's a meditation, right? You have to focus. The minute you don't focus, you get distracted by whatever reason. And imagine if you're making kheer and you put salt in it. What happens? That kheer is also being made for Krishna, right? Like we have an example when once Srila Prabhupada chastised one of the Matajis who had, by mistake, for whatever reason, she had put salt in the charnamrit instead of sugar. Now, why did Prabhupada chastise her? Was not because Prabhupada got angry. He was setting an example. This is the point that Prabhupada was trying to make. That we have to be very attentive when we are doing devotional service. We are doing it for Krishna. That's what we need to understand. When we are at work, aren't we focused? We can't afford to make mistakes in our job, in our work. So this is intentional inattention, where we are chanting, and we know in chanting, you know, best of ideas come. So we are literally waiting when those best ideas will come, and then we'll make a note or something. No. That is why, see, the unavoidable distractions, which we spoke about, they are disturbing, because they disturb you, you know. But what happens? Immediately that person goes away, you again try to focus now. Oh, he's gone, you answered his question, he's gone, you again start focusing. You put in your efforts again to start your service to Krishna, whatever it may be. But in case of intentional inattention, what is it? It's very damaging. Why? Because we are actively, you can say, seeking it, correct? If you are seeking it, then, you know, even after that act is over, you will not put in an effort to come back into it. Like as we were talking about chanting. Even after your whole class is prepared, maybe in the chanting only, you will not put in an effort now to come back to the chanting. Because it's intentional. So, these two types of distractions, the unavoidable one cannot be avoided, as it says. The intentional one, we should be very, very sensitive. We should be very sensitive about it. So what happens when a distraction comes? See, a distraction comes because of what? Because of a situation, because of a person, because of, you know, whatever it may be. And we'll talk about the unsolicited one, the unexpected one. It's beyond our control. Right? And when, like, suppose any distraction that we were talking about, the situation is beyond our control. Okay. Now suppose we handle that situation in some way. Because what happens, this situation or this person, whoever creates this distraction, the outcome of that situation is emotions flow. I'll give you an example, don't worry. That situation leads to emotions. I'll give you an example. Suppose I do something and I succeed. I'm successful in that. What happens? In this situation, what is the emotion that comes up? I become very proud. I become very happy. Right? But if somebody else succeeds and you don't succeed, what is the emotion? You become envious of that person. Right? Or the other way around, if you do something and you fail, I fail in doing something, what happens? What are the emotions? I become depressed. I become very sad. And if somebody else fails, what happens? You'll either become happy or you'll start criticizing that person or you'll contempt him. So try to understand. Distraction, we must try to go beyond the level of situation, the situation of the person which is causing the distraction. And even beyond that, we must try to go even beyond the emotion, which is a fallout of that situation. That is very important. And that will only happen on the platform of devotion. What is the meaning of platform of devotion? Means where we see that everything is orchestrated by Krishna. Because then if I'm successful, I won't become proud. I'll understand, it's Krishna's hand. Or if I fail, I'll say, Krishna didn't want it. If I see somebody else's success, I become happy. Yes, you know. So it's very important to go beyond situation, beyond emotions, to the platform of devotion. That's perfection of overcoming distraction. I hope it's making sense. We give many examples. I don't have too much time. But this was the one thing I really wanted to explain. The perfection of overcoming distraction is when one goes beyond situation, person, place, circumstance, whatever it may be, beyond emotions, that may be anger, pride, depression, whatever it is, and what's his response? It's on the level of devotion, where he sees everything as an orchestration of Krishna. He is doing it. So then our response, you'll be happy, whether you... Either way, whether you succeed or you don't succeed, you won't be disturbed. So this is distraction. We must understand this aspect. This is really overcoming distraction. Distraction can only be overcome on the platform of devotion. It cannot be overcome on any other platform. So now next, I will try to explain two types of distractions. Types means distractions happen at an exterior level, at the gross level, and distractions for, and I'm talking primarily for us devotees, and distractions happen at an inner level, on a subtle level. So we have this beautiful verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam by Kunti Devi. Janmaishvaya Shuta Shibhi Edamana Madha Bhuman. She says, four things. Janma Aishvarya Shuta Shibhi. High birth, great opulence, Shruta is education, knowledge, and Shribhi is beauty. She says these four things are big time distractions in our lives. In our lives means those who are practitioners who are trying to serve the Lord. Edman Madhva Puman. A person becomes mad. He gets intoxicated, because when you are intoxicated, you can't think right and wrong. You'll think wrong to be right and right to be wrong. So these are four very gross, you can say, not gross, in today's society, these are the biggest distractions, which are not only impeding an individual to take up to devotional life, but even those who have taken up to devotional life, they keep obstructing their growth. And we see so many examples of these. High birth. See, now we are approaching Damodar month, right? And we sing Damodar Ashtakam. Kuver Atma Jau Bhadda Murte Vayadva. The two sons of Kuver. Now, that's high birth. They are the sons of Kuver. But they were so intoxicated. The great sage Narad Muni comes and they can't recognize him. And we know the whole pastime. I'm not going to get into the pastime. But how high birth, because people aspire, I should have been the son, if I would have been the son of Bill Gates, I would have been the son of, whoever. But this is a big impediment, Kunti Devi is explaining. It makes you mad. Then Aishwarya, opulence. See, we time and again have so many examples in the Srimad Bhagavatam of Indradev. He is such an exalted personality. He is the king of the devtas. And he gets distracted from his service to Krishna. He fails to understand at times his position in relationship to Krishna. We have, you know, again in the Kartik month, we'll be celebrating Govardhan Puja. We know that whole pastime. Now, this same Indra, in Indra Lok, when Krishna comes with Satyabhama, we know the pastime, right? That Satyabhama wanted one Parijat flower. Indra refused. Please try to understand. This is Indra, who's the king of the demigods. He has a good understanding of his position in relationship to Krishna. But he fights. There's a battle. He fights Krishna not to give that Parijat to Krishna. Where does that come from? Because he's so puffed up. I'm the king of the demigods. Impediment. It's a distraction. Then Shuta, high knowledge. We see Brahmaji. All Vedas are coming from Brahma. Tene Brahma Hridaya Adi Kaviye. The Vedas were first spoken to, were given to Brahmaji. He gets bewildered. Right? We know the whole pastime again of how he comes and steals away the cowherd boy. Is it that he doesn't know? he's the proprietor of the Vedas. And he gets bewildered. And Shribhi, beauty. So many examples. See, I'm going very fast, you know, because of shortage of time. Vishwamitra Muni is sitting in Samadhi for thousands of years, 40, 50,000 years. He just hears. What? Now, this is not the kartals, you know, because when we hear chik, 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 we think it's somebody playing the kartals and doing kirtan. This was the tinkling of who? Menaka's foot. Vishwamitra was disturbed. He just opened his eyes. He sees Menaka. He forgets everything. He just forgets everything. Lord Shiva chasing Mohini Murti. Brahma is allured by Saraswati Devi, his own daughter. And the most graphic example, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was on his South India trip, who was his assistant? Kala Krishna Das. Now imagine, please, this is so important to understand. Kala Krishna Das is with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now what happens? He gets distracted, he gets attracted to these beautiful gypsies that he sees in the Malar Desh. Please try to understand. In the presence of the Lord, this is happening. This is how powerful Maya can be. She can allure you, distract you at any stage. Prabhupada said, what to talk of this? Even at the highest level, what is the last snare of Maya, Prabhupada said? Like we just not discussed in the previous verse. Last snare of Maya, she'll give you this, you know, beautiful thought process. You can become God. And Prabhupada said, that's a distraction, that's an impediment. It's the last snare which one has to overcome. So these are the external distractions. And I'll talk about the internal also in 2 minutes. And see, today is the disappearance day of Rupa Goswami. I don't know whether it was yesterday over there or what, so I didn't talk about it. All this that we have just discussed about Janma, Aishwarya, Shruta, Shribi, Rupa Goswami had it all. Sanatana Goswami had it all. Raghunath Das Goswami had it all. What did they do? They gave it up. Why did they give up? They knew. They knew this aspect. These are impediments. These are distractions. These are distractions. They are not going to help us in any way. They gave up. Rupa Goswami, Sanatana, we know they were born in such high families. They had so much wealth. They were so revered. Everybody honored them, respected them. They were really, literally worshipable. And they were beautiful. They were young. They were mandalpatis. They
त्यक्त्वा तूर्णमशेषमण्डलम् इति जस्ट् गिव् इट् अप् त्यक्त्वा तूर्णं मीन्स् जस्ट् लैक् दिस् इस् गार्बेज् वि डोण्ट् नीड् इट् वि जस्ट् डोण्ट् वाण्ट् इट् बिकास् दे अण्डर्स्टुड् दट् दीस् आर् डिस्ट्राक्षन् दीस् आर् इम्पेडिमेण्ट्स् अण्ड् नौ ऐ टेल् यू आल् आफ् अनदर् टैप्स् आफ् डिस्ट्राक्षन्स् विच् कम् आन् अ सडल् लेवल् So, to explain that, I will tell you a small anecdote so that we can understand it. Do we have the time? I just wanted to see what's the time.
Yes, Prabhu.
Do we have the time? Okay, yes. I think about it, I will end, or if I'm running too late, you all can hit the button and I'll stop whenever you all want to. So, okay. There's a very beautiful anecdote I'll explain to you all. And then there were four monks. So they decided that we are going to sit and do dhyana, meditate. Nobody is going to talk. Everybody sat down. They were all through the day meditating silently. Everybody was totally immersed. And as evening came, it became dark. There was a candle burning over there. Suddenly what happened? The wind blows and the candle goes off and it becomes pitch dark. So one monk suddenly, when he sees that candle go off, he shouts, "Oh no, the candle has gone off." So now what did he do? He broke the vow because they were supposed to be, they were supposed to be mum, not supposed to talk. So he broke the vow. Immediately the second monk sitting next to him, he said, "Hey, we are not supposed to talk, don't you understand?" So he broke his vow. The third person sitting there got so angry in a very irritated voice, in a very loud voice. He said, "What is this happening? Why did you two break the silence?" Not realizing that he had also broken the silence. And the fourth monk was sitting, smiling. By this time, he had also obviously opened his eyes. And he said, "Wow, I am the only one who has not spoken." Now, it's a very nice story. There's a message in it. All these four monks, if you see, in some way or the other, they were distracted. The first monk, he was distracted by externals. He saw the candle go off. When he saw the candle go off, he should have just not been disturbed. Candle has gone off. Right now, I am in meditative, I am supposed to be meditating, so I don't speak anything. I just accept it and move on. His distraction was external. But the important one is the other three which we are going to, because we've already discussed the external one, we'll talk about the other three ones. What did the second monk do? The second monk was more worried about the others following, you know, what had been established. And he was very to do what? To pass a judgment. He was judgmental. He was critical. And we'll discuss it. I'll just go through it first. And the third monk, he became angry towards the first two who had broken the vow. And the fourth monk, where did he lose his way? Because of what? Pride. He was so convinced that, see, I'm so superior to the others. He was trying to prove their ignorance and trying to prove his superiority. And my dear friends, these are more difficult obstacles and distractions on the path of a sadhaka than the previous ones that we spoke about. Janma Aishwarya Sutta Shivir, you know, through practice and all, you can give up, you can stay away from it, use it in some way or the other. But the subtle ones, anger, pride, being judgmental, being critical, you know, we won't get into detail. We talk a lot about, but we don't want to get into the detail. But the point I'm trying to make is the subtle one. You know, when we get into preaching, you get so much name, fame, people respect you, you get so much honor. It's very difficult to handle it. Very difficult. Just somebody has to come and tell you, "Prabhu, what a class you gave," and you accept it. "Yeah, I gave a good class, you know, because I prepared so much." So difficult to handle these distractions. How to handle them? So I'm going to go very fast.
because each of these points we talk a lot in our seminars and all, but I'll just skip it and I'll come to the main point. How to handle these situations? Because, you know, this is primarily a whole discussion of where is it coming from? It's the mind. The mind is so powerful that it's taking you away, it's driving you away from where you are. And that is why in Bhagavad Gita, what does Krishna say in the 6th chapter, verse number 26? Yato yato nishchalate manas chanchalam astiram. That this man is very chanchal, very flickering, and astiram. It's not steady, it's unsteady. So he said, wherever this mind takes you, yato yato, wherever it goes, tato tato, from there, through niyam, what do you do? Withdraw it. They keep bringing it back. So like as I give you the example, if somebody comes, talks to you during chanting, wonderful, you respect that devotee, fine, he's gone. Come back. Come back to wherever you left off. And it could be in any case, you know, if you're cooking or whatever you are doing, keep bringing the man back. Yato yato nishchalati manas chanchalam astra. This is the practice. That is why we are sadhakas, right? We are practicing devotees. What does practicing mean? Practice means you'll fail, you come back. You fail, you come back. You fail, you come back. You don't give up. So these distractions keep coming. Keep coming. But what we have to do? We have to keep coming back on track. On track. On track. And what keeps us on track, on track, on track is Sadhu Sangha. Association of devotees. You have to be an association of devotees who will keep bringing you back on track. When you get distracting, means you are going either too much to the right or you are going too much to the left. That's what is the meaning of distraction, right? So how do you bring it back all the time on the track? I think I've given the example before also. Once Vidyanand Maharaj had given this wonderful example. In America, when we are driving on highways, in the lanes, you know, on the edge of each of the lanes, you have these, whatever you call them, small stones or something. If your car goes too much to the right, what happens? Tuck, 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 tuck. You immediately realize car is going too much to the right. You bring it back into the center. If it's going too much to the left, tuck, 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 you bring it back to the center. That's what the devotee association does. You're getting distracted. You're going too much to the left. The devotee brings you back on. That was the problem. We always say Bharat Maharaj. Bharat Maharaj didn't have association to bring him back on track. He was going too much to the right or he was going too much to the left. There wasn't somebody to keep him in the center. So how, now of course, as I said, it's by the mercy of the devotees. How to get this mercy? I'll just end with this one thought. And this is the take-home message. If you all didn't understand here any of the previous part of the class, it's okay. Please just try to get this last part of the class, which I'm going to share with you. There's a beautiful bhajan that we sing.
Gauranga bolite hobe pulaka sarira hari hari bolite nayane bobeni.
So the bhajan is pretty long. I'm just coming to one particular line in this verse. One particular verse which is so powerful. I don't know how many of you will believe it. I hear this verse every day. At least I try to. The day I don't hear it, I sing it. This is something like my meditation, and that's why I'm sharing with you all. What is that line? What is that verse?
Ar kobe nitai chande karuna hoibe samsar basana mora kobe tuch hobe.
This is the key. Just now we saw, where are all these distractions coming from? Samsara vasana mora. All these samsara, you know, these material attractions they have, which are actually distractions, I want them to become tuch. We just now saw, right? Rupa Goswami and all, they give it up. Tyaktva turnam shesha mandalapati. They give it up. Because they thought it's tuch. It has no value. It's useless. It's worthless. So how will I be able to give it up? I want samsara vasana mora. Vasana means, you know, whatever are my desires. Kobe tuchha habe. How will they become worthless for me? How?
when nitai tander karuna hoybe. Kobe ar kobe nitai chander. Only when I get the karuna, the mercy of Lord Nityananda. Who is Lord Nityananda? You know, Balaram ji, Lord Nityananda are non-different, right? We sing that Balaram hoilo nitai. So nitai is Lord Balaram ji. Balaram ji is who, how does he appear in our lives? In the form of our gurus. Guru's mercy. And Guru's mercy comes to us how? Through the Vaishnavas. So this is the way. When we'll get their mercy, then all these attractions that we are talking about, samsara, vasana, mora, tuchha ho jayega, useless. They won't have any value. But when that will happen? Only when we get the mercy of Lord Nityananda, Lord Balaram, Guru, and his representative, the Vaishnavas. And what will happen? What will happen if this samsara vasana which I have, if they are just, you know, diminished, they are destroyed from my heart? Vishaya chadiya kabe shuddha hobe mano kabe hama heribo shri Vrindavan. As long as this vishaya, this samsar vasana are there in your heart, they are not removed. Vishaya chadiya kabe shuddha hobe mano. When my mind, my heart will be free from all this poisonous samsar vasanas, then what will be the result? Then I can see Vrindavan. Vrindavan will be revealed to me. I really brought this up because I think many of you all may be coming for the Vrindavan Yatra also. We have to start preparing ourselves, my dear friends. The yatra is wonderful. You can just go for 7-8 days and have wonderful times and all. But did you see Vrindavan? No, you cannot see Vrindavan. Vrindavan is a place, yes. But more important than Vrindavan being a place, it's a state of consciousness. Vrindavan has to be revealed. You can't see Vrindavan with your eyes. Kobe hama heribo shri Vrindavan. When your vishaya chhadiya shuddha hobe mon. I will tell you of a real life incident, or a real incident, not real, real incident. I was in Atlanta, and I was in the temple, New Paniyati Dham. I was in the office doing some seva. And at that time, our temple president, His Grace Vetsar Prabhu, came in with one guest. And this person is a very nice person. He's an Indian, favorable to ISKCON, and he's very sattvic, and he's got a lot of money. He's favorable, you know, he helps the temple and all. But he is, you know, attached to a lot of other processes and all also. So he came into that office, they both were sitting and they were talking, and I was in another corner doing my work. And he had just returned from India. He had been to a lot of these dhams. So he was talking to this temple president and explaining to him, I went to this place, I went to this place, I went to this place. And he was really glorifying, I went to Vaishnav Devi, it was so clean, it was so beautiful, I got such a wonderful room, the temple is so clean, it's so gorgeous. So he spoke like this for a lot of places. And finally he said, the last place that I went was Vrindavan. And when he said that, that time my ears opened up, I wanted to really hear, you know, he went to Vrindavan and what was his experiences. So what work I was doing, actually I got distracted from that work to this, what he was talking. And do you all know what he said? He said, Prabhu, Vrindavan was so dirty. All that I could see everywhere was garbage, open sewages. I could see pigs moving around. The temples were not well maintained. It was so dirty. It's so dark. And the last statement which he said brought tears to my eyes. He said, I never want to get back to Vrindavan. And I was thinking, Krishna, a goal of our life is to eternally one day reside in Vrindavan, to get residence in Vrindavan. And how unfortunate is this person who went to Vrindavan does not want to come back to Vrindavan.
And that's where it set me thinking. When I came to this bhajan, I said, Vishaya chadiya kabe shuddha hobe mona kabe hamaheribo shri Vrindavan. Then Vrindavan will be revealed to us. Otherwise, if you go to Vrindavan, you're only going to see trees. And I don't blame that person. We might also, otherwise, you know, you just go to Vrindavan and you see what he saw and you come back. Unless this distraction, samsara, vasana, mora, kabe, tuchya habe, unless this distraction, these attractions, material attractions, which are distractions, are not eradicated from our hearts. Because see, his attraction was for what? There should be a good hotel, there should be a good room, the rooms, the roads should be very clean. Those were the things which were attracting him. Till those attractions are not eradicated from our heart, Vrindavan will not be revealed to us. So, this should be our prayer. Balaram Jayanti is coming right day after tomorrow. Or in 2-3 days, sorry. We should pray to Balaram Ji when we are saying, Ar kobe nitai chandes Balaram Ji only. Samsara vasana mora, please by heart this verse and stand in front of Balaram Ji and beg, cry, weep. You don't get it just very easily. You know, when a beggar comes to you in India, you just don't take out 100 rupees and give it, or you don't take out $100. He begs, he cries, then you give it. Let this be our prayer. We need to cry, we need to fall on our knees and cry to Balaram Ji, this Jayanti, please free me from this samsara. Because as long as that doesn't happen, I cannot see Vrindavan. And when you go to Vrindavan, then when you get access into Vrindavan, then what do? I'll share another, just last one verse of another bhajan and we'll end. When you go to Vrindavan, what should you do? Krishna she tomar, Krishna dite paru, tomaro shakati ache. Ami to kangal, Krishna Krishna boli, dhai tavo pache pache. Ami to kangal, you have to go to Vrindavan in this mood. I'm a beggar. This is what Prabhupada did, right? We all have read. In the nights, he used to cry in front of Rupa Goswami's Samadhi. Ami to kangal, Krishna, Krishna, boli dhai. I'm running after you. Why? Because Krishna is your property. Krishna shetumar, Krishna dite paro. You can give Krishna to me, as we just now discussed. How do you get Krishna? Through Nityananda Prabhu, through Balaram Ji, through the Guru and through the Vaishnavas. You have to cry, you have to beg, you have to fall on your knees and beg from them. Because Krishna is your property. Tumar shakti ache. You have the strength to give Krishna to me. Ami to kangal. I'm a kangal, I'm a beggar. Krishna, Krishna boli dhai tava pache 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 pache. Only when we cry like this to Balaram Ji on Ram Jayanti day, on Prabhupada's disappearing day, when we cry to Prabhupada, Krishna is your property, please give me. That's the success of going to Vrindavan. Then Vrindavan will be revealed to us. And that's how all these material attractions will be eradicated from our hearts. That's what this verse is saying. The Lord covers the devotee's undesirable ambitions. Why? Because ultimately he wants to bring him to this platform. Krishna Shetumar, Krishna Dite Paro, Amito Kangal, Krishna Krishna Boli, Dhai Tavo, Pache, Pache. Thank you very much. Shri Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Please forgive me, I don't know whether I went over time or how long I was supposed to speak, but I had taken permission from whoever was guiding the program. Anybody has any questions or any, you know, comments, or anybody wants to share anything, please feel free.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. Very, very beautiful class on managing distractions. And very nicely you put forth the point that it is possible only through devotion. Very nice anecdotes as well. It was very inspiring to hear from you, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. Anyone have questions, you can go ahead and ask Prabhuji. Thank you again, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. All glories to Prabhupada, all glories to Guru Maharaj. Thank you for a very, very enlightening class. I especially like the last analogy you were speaking about when you said that with the four meditating yogis. And I guess I don't have a real question. I think you answered all my doubts when you said when you explained about the internal and the external distractions, and that the internal were the most difficult. And so thank you very much. Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Thank you, Mataji. Mataji, if you don't have any questions or anybody else doesn't have comments, I think we can end the call. Thank you, everybody, for giving me this opportunity to serve you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Thank you, Srila Prabhuji. Koti koti dandavat pranam. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev ki jai. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Very, very nice class. A nice explanation. Thank you. Any question?
Thank you, Mataji, for your very encouraging words.
So thank you all so much again for joining, and thank you so much, Prabhu, for coming on the call. So if no one has any questions, we can end the call. Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripacharyebhyo patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Ananta koti vaishnava vrinda ki jay. Srila Prabhupada ki jay. Shri Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jay. Praise Ramachandra Prabhu ki
jay. Thank you, Prabhuji. Please give your assistance regularly.
Thank you.